Hello again, Mexpat Stories. Thank you so much for being present again. So this is one more episode of the Mexpat Stories. All these people in Playa that is traveling or living or experiencing this place temporarily. Today we are going to have a fantastic guest. I'm very happy to have her here because she's part of my network. She hasn't been here for a long time, but she's already part of my close group of people that is networking almost every single day. Her name is Lauren. I cannot pronounce her second last name. You have two last names or two names?
I have two first names and one last name.
Okay, so now you get it. So I'm gonna let her introduce her by herself. So, because it's a lot easier for me, as I told Neil the last time, English is not my first language, so I still have a lot of barriers when it comes to these things. So first of all, welcome and thank you so much for being here. Can you tell people your complete name, please?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, Rodrigo. My name is Laurel Ann Stark.
Laurel Stark. Okay, that's my mistake. So Laurel, you've been here in Playa for how long?
I've been here for this trip. I've been here just about 4 weeks now. Just coming up on 4 weeks. Yeah.
Okay, but it's not your first time here.
No, certainly not.
So when was your first time here?
I think it was like 7 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
You actually saw the change then.
You know what? Actually, probably like 12 years ago, I came for an all-inclusive retreat, but I don't think that counts.
No, it doesn't count if you're in a hotel.
No, it doesn't. So yeah, 7 years ago.
Okay, so that's a long time. What dragged you that time to Playa?
I came on a yoga retreat.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I was like a little bit closer to Tulum initially for that one, but so there was a bunch of people I knew that were coming here for a week of like sun and beach and yoga, and that sounded like perfect to me, so that's why I came.
Very good. Yeah, and do you get to see a little bit of the change of Playa between those 7 years and now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it was 6 years ago was the first time that I stayed actually in, like, not in a hotel or anything, but I stayed actually in Playa. And I did my first trip across the highway and all those like
nice
brave things that tourists do.
What a brave person.
Yeah.
Not even I go to the highway.
I had a friend who lived here and she had me house sit for her.
Uh-huh.
So that was kind of how I got to know Playa, the city, or the town rather. And yeah, I've definitely seen a lot of changes in terms of development, how big, like how the expansion of Fifth Avenue has gone. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, both intensity as well as length. So yeah, I've definitely seen it grow. But that's kind of what every city is doing now with global, like the global population.
No, I totally agree. It's just that Playa had this boost that, you know, like happened from one day to the other. I've been here for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
I came 2003 and obviously this is not the same Playa that I knew. But I can see now why more and more people is coming with a different intention that is not only being a tourist, which I'm very grateful for, which take us to what you get to do for a living. So first of all, let me ask you, who is this person right now that I'm having in front of me? What do you see this person that you have created of yourself as?
I love the question that you, or sort of how you frame this beforehand, that it's not just like, what do you do? I think in North American culture or like Western culture, there's such a hang up about like your job. And we don't talk about like who you are as a person. So I think that's a really interesting question. I don't know if I've thought about it necessarily that way, but I like to go to the gym. I like to laugh. I'm Canadian. I like to read. I'm an open person and I like to travel and I like to adventure and explore. Those are some of the things that I do outside work.
Okay, that's actually very interesting. So we are all regular people to other people, but individually we are incredible universal organisms,
mm-hmm,
that has different options for individual lives, but we are magical in a way that we can just be this or that, depending on our mood, depending on who we want to be. And Playa is allowing us to be exactly what we want to be, and this is something I'm very grateful for, because I remember living in Mexico City and I was working for a bank. I'm not gonna promote them. And it was always, you know, the tie, all this structure that they have created for us, and it was the person that's working at the bank. There was never a capacity for me to be a free person,
yeah,
with a job.
Mm-hmm.
I was my job,
yeah,
and that was a little bit sad, while Playa allows me to be this person that I am today, which is very grateful and happy, that owns a dog just like you,
mm-hmm,
and he's here with us, by the way. You can follow him on Instagram as Luke Begs for Food, and 4 goes with a number. So, okay, yeah, we're now in Playa, and now let's just go to the main question. What do you do and why do you do it?
Okay, So I'm an entrepreneur and I do a lot of things. So I'm working on my second book right now, which is going to come out in spring. And it's at the intersection of mental health and entrepreneurship and female empowerment. And the reason that I'm writing this book is because I've been self-employed for 16 years. I have a digital marketing company. I do online marketing consulting and strategy and workshops and teaching. And I'm also a business coach and mentor. And that's kind of it.
Wow, that's kind of it? That's a lot.
Oh no, I forgot about some things. Sorry, can I say more?
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So I have my own podcast as well, I have a Facebook group for female entrepreneur mental health awareness.
That's cool.
So yeah, a couple like work things and a couple of philanthropy things, but yeah, I always have like 10 projects.
How do you find the time for all that?
Time management. Yeah.
It's a powerful word.
And also I would say that like making sure that I make sure my vitality and my happiness is topped up all the time, because I think you can't be productive when you're sad, and you can't be productive if you're exhausted, and you can't really create great things if you don't love what you do. So I do what I do because I feel like it's what I'm supposed to do on the planet.
Yes.
And that helps motivate me.
That's incredible. When I get to talk to people like you, which are lately coming more and more to my life, and I'm fascinated, you all guys make me feel like these generations that you get to see a kid at 2 years old opening a phone and playing and texting and doing stuff, and at 2 years old I was still eating dirt.
Yeah,
you
same.
Know? So I feel like that when I get to find people like you. I was like, okay, when I was like 20, I was like eating dirt. Literally, I used to drink a lot and party a lot and probably by the beach, eating sand. Well, that's actually a really good curriculum. I'm very impressed. And I think it's an important moment for women to understand their value, not only as a gender, but as an individual that is capable to realize what they want now that more options are opening. And what you're doing right now is opening a platform probably to a lot of women that haven't been able to see the power on a female community, but also as an individual that is capable to realize multitasking things because there's nothing stopping them. How do you see yourself as a figure now that is managing all of this, that could be resonating or creating an impact in these new groups of people, like maybe younger or someone that is a little bit older that was never able to see this part of within herself? How do you think you're inspiring all this?
Like, what's the impact that I'm making?
Yes.
I think that for my experience anyways, is that mostly the women that I come across and work with generally have multitasking down and they work too much. They do.
Work too much.
They have their job, they have their kids, they have their husband, they have also like, it's kind of a full-time job being pretty. It takes time and it's expensive, and also managing their image on the internet, right? So the data shows, and my theory is also that women work four jobs and they get paid for 75% of one. So it's an incredible amount of pressure, an incredible amount of work, and not a lot of support, especially being entrepreneurs. So the impact that I'm making is to provide community where women can connect and not feel alone, because isolation is really, really bad for you, for both your physical and mental health. Also providing just like really easy to use tools to improve your mental health and your health as a woman or a man, but even just things as simple as like phone a friend today, or make sure you've eaten or drink some water. That as well as normalizing the experiences of women, because I think one thing that I've learned a lot is that we tend to undermine how bad things are, or how stressed out we are, or how isolated we are, and actually just calling it what it is and saying, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to feel how you feel, and it's okay to be experiencing what you're experiencing, because I think with the internet, it makes everybody look like they're perfect and they're doing well and better than us. And also with entrepreneurship, you know, there's a lot of stigma around failure and things like that. So to just reduce the shame around, you know, struggle or like maybe not feeling great every day or all the time, and just to sort of normalize that as an experience for female entrepreneurs, I think is some of the impacts that I'm trying to make. And the feedback is, so far I'm doing pretty good, so it makes me happy.
It looks like you're doing pretty good. Yes. I'm very, very impressed. I was able to hear her talk the other day and at the Playapreneur Summit, and it was very appealing to me to have a little conversation with her here. And that's because, I don't know if you know how, or I have shared this with you, but in my 4 years managing the Facebook group of the Mexpat Club, I had a lot of people approaching to me, and today, from the 4,300 organic members that I have, 68% are women. Mm-hmm. And many of them have reached out to the group. So I would say that from, let's just say, every 10 people that I get to interview in a period of maybe 2 weeks, at least 7 are women. Mm-hmm. So I can see a development, not only in Playa, but like worldwide, of women entrepreneurs and digital nomads. That is fascinating. First of all, because it's really nice to see that we're finally reaching a little start for other generations. And second, because I think Playa is nourishing through a more female entity, energy itself. Because once that gets to happen, I believe that women have restructured society several times indirectly, and now they're going to be capable to do it directly. But these people needs to know that they are capable to do it by opening more options. So I think Playa is allowing this new platform to come, be relaxed, be a little bit of this, and no one's going to judge you, and you can be a multitasking person and a mom, and nothing's going to happen, because there's not really a society that is targeting you as person in between problems. Is more like, you're here, you do what you do, go for it, right? I feel it at least like that. I don't know about you.
Yeah, like one of the reasons that I keep coming back to Playa is because I feel like every time I go home to Canada, I feel like I'm swimming upstream when it comes to the culture. Like there's just so many advertisements about like, just so many advertisements that are basically telling me that I'm not good enough how I am, and that I need to buy something to be good enough. And what I love about, from the small amount I know about culture here in Playa, which is not as much as I want to know, but definitely I'm learning, is that it's more about like family and joy and art and food and like joyfulness as being a bigger part of life instead of just consuming. And I feel like consumer culture is really harmful because a lot of people are sort of have bought into the notion that you can sort of purchase your way into happiness. Mm-hmm. But that's a lie. So it can create sort of like this horrible feeling, whereas I think here in Playa, like I love that, you see a lot of community and families, and there's a lot of emphasis, there's a lot of public spaces where people can gather and you don't have to buy anything. There's like always music playing, which is amazing. The food, everywhere you go, you smell good food. People are friendly and happy, generally speaking. And it's always such a culture shock when I go back to Canada and like strangers in the street don't say hi. And people don't smile at you.
And you get used to it.
And yeah, absolutely, I get used to it. So I love it here. I feel more free here, absolutely. I feel like less less judged. I feel less restricted in what is possible for me as a human being. And I also just like, I feel more joyful here as well. So that's
so it
why
could
I keep
be
coming.
Like Playa gets to deliver a lot of soul food.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's part. And I would like to add to what she said right now, that yes, there's a lot of people consuming and buying certain kind of things to be in other societies. I would say that Mexicans are also investing the same amount of money, like obviously trying to not compare the how people get to make money in Canada or other countries with Mexico. Mexico invests, but invests a lot in experiences. So we invest a lot in food.
Yeah.
And this is something that I actually had to put it out there. I remember every Sunday with my family, my dad was buying so much food. It was like mountains of food, and everybody was coming, and there was always some music playing, and I was like, my dad is crazy, how can he spend so much money, what the fuck is going on here? But now that I get to realize, he was investing in the experience of taking us to different places and always involving food. It's something that we have in the community of Mexicans, and that's really something I like to put out there. So it may be something that we have to keep track of, because what you mentioned is very important. Yes, when you're in a country like yours, maybe you need or have the necessity to explore yourself like that. So I really appreciate that part. So now I want to, we kind of explore this question that I was going to make. You're like, why did you choose Playa, but you kind of covered that part. So I would very much like to know, now that you're here after 7 years, what's your real experience in Playa? Like, for real, would you see yourself living here in a long term? Could it be a home for someone else that you recommend because maybe you're traveling too much? What is Playa to you now?
So Playa to me is like, it's perfect. So of course being Canadian, the weather is amazing here. So right now all my friends and family are wearing jackets and they're complaining, and it's getting really cold up in Canada. And so here, of course, it's 30 degrees and you and I are just melting, right? So I love I love the temperature, which is great. But for me, it's an interesting sort of mixture of both, kind of what I need from the perspective of the first world. Like, I really need to have good internet. I need to feel like there's sort of like a decent amount of infrastructure here to enable me to work remotely, and that is certainly provided here. Like, the internet's great at the place that I'm staying, it always has been, and you know, if it goes down or anything like that, there's a lot of different internet cafes that have really fantastic internet. So for me, internet's like one of the most important things. Also, I really appreciate the infrastructure, like the bike paths are really fantastic.
It's much better now. It's much better now. We used to have a lot of problems. But yes, what they did, although it's not like all the way to the 5th Avenue, I think what they did on the 10th Avenue is great for the bicycles.
Well, when I was here last time in January, I was up by Los Olivios, so up in the Burbs.
Oh, they also have that area.
And they had this amazing bike path for basically 40 minutes out of downtown into the suburbs, which was fantastic because I don't like necessarily biking on the roads. So for, and you know, it's got like grocery stores and everything. Like, it's, I don't know, it's got enough amenities that I can feel like I can sort of live my normal lifestyle like I would in Canada, except for that now I'm not freezing. There's like awesome, you know, there's always something going on. Like, the population of Ply is a little bit smaller than the place that I just moved from, but things are open like way later. There's always so many activities going on, which is fantastic. I love to eat, so there's always like lots of good food everywhere. And so it's an amazing sort of, like, no matter what you're into, you can find something here in Ply as well. And like, I was just making a list of all the adventures that I want to have before I leave, because I'm here for 6 months. And like, it's amazing. You can go cultural and check out the ruins and all the kinds of things like that. There's so many beautiful cities and beautiful architecture, like so close to here as well. Like, Merida's close.
And we're having the festival of the Día de Muertos.
Yeah, exactly.
The Day of the Dead.
I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it, but if I can, and if you can do it, don't miss it. Guys, if you're coming here by next month to experience the Día de Muertos, don't miss the parade at Merida. It's just unique. Very unique.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you get to stay in Playa, though, you have to go to Xcaret.
Okay.
They have a beautiful cemetery. They fixed them. So it's a little bit more touristy.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
Would you recommend Merida or Xcaret?
No, Merida would be. If I could be very honest with you, I would send you to Guanajuato.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite cities in Mexico. It's extremely colonial. It holds a lot of cultural background because part of the independence started over there. We have so many different things. We have mummies, like natural mummies over there. So it will be very appealing for the public that really wants to explore Mexico to go to Guanajuato. But since we're in the Riviera Maya and that's on the other side, I would say that from the options that you have here, Mérida has to be a must.
Okay.
It is a must.
Okay, good to know. Awesome. It's great to know. So yeah, I mean, there's a million different cultural things. There's like, of course, the sort of eco adventures. Like, you know, you can go see monkeys, you can go to all the cenotes, which I love. Like, obviously the beach is great, snorkeling, paddleboarding, scuba diving, like whatever you're into, like there's definitely something to do here. So I would recommend anybody who has the ability to work remotely that doesn't want to hang out in Canada in winter should come.
Yeah, especially if you also want to volunteer. There's so many programs to volunteer. There's people helping dog shelters. There's people helping the monkey sanctuary. Mm-hmm. They're helping the coral reef right now. If you're a diver, you want to come and just help the coral reef. There's so many things happening right now in Playa because it's thriving. It's finally coming all together. And it's thanks to the expats and the digital nomads, not only the Mexican initiative, that these experiences are growing nowadays. And I'm very grateful with the people that have been coming in the past years to try to help us save this place from the big corporations that are a little bit careless.
Yeah.
They're irresponsible, obviously. I'm not gonna say they have a negative agenda trying to transform this place into their own backyard to do whatever they want, but you know, sometimes things get a little bit out of control, so it's our task to make them know that not everything is accepted and that we have to take action on that. So if you get to come, guys, there's plenty of things for you to experience right here. Okay, so now you're in Playa, you said you love food, and something I've been asking people is, what is your favorite food in this area?
Oh, it's so hard.
I know.
I think like anything that comes on a street cart.
Anything that comes in a street cart. Okay.
Yeah. I've had some of the most amazing, like, strange, like a marquesita with Nutella and cheese.
Oh, the marquesitas.
Is my current favorite thing. I would never have Nutella with cheese. Like, that combination seems really weird to me, but I tried it and it changed my life.
I'm gonna be very honest with you. I have never tried it with cheese.
Really?
No, I'm very resistant to the idea of having cheese with Nutella.
Me too. I was too. And I told the guy I thought that he was crazy, but his sister convinced me and I tried it and it's honestly, it's so much better with cheese.
Because it's the Dutch cheese, if I'm correct, right?
I don't know.
The Red Bull cheese.
I don't know what magic. I don't know what magic is happening.
Oh, it's so weird. Well,
it's amazing.
Okay, I'm gonna try to have that.
You have to try.
Do you know what they're called, marquesitas?
Yeah, marquesitas.
Yeah. Do you know why they are
called
marquesitas? Okay, this is just for all of you guys. I searched for this on the internet long ago, so I don't know if they have changed the information. But apparently, the person that invented the marquesitas, which are like crepes but more in like a shape of a ice cream cone, so they're like long. But like an ice cream cone, they're crunchy.
Yeah.
And they have cheese or Nutella with banana inside, and they have all different options. And they are called marquesitas because it was, I think, the 1800s, end of the 1800s or beginning of 1900s, there was a marquesa and a marquis, so the marquis. And they had a daughter, which was beautiful. And this guy that invented the marquesitas was very much in love with her, and she loved the marquesitas as the favorite dessert. So he decided to name the marquesitas after her. Because she, in here we have the ita at the end of the words, just to say something small or big. So in this case, since the marquis was a very young person and born, his marquesita.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know what the marquesitas are called.
Thank you very much. And I have more appreciation for it as I'm eating them.
It's delicious. There's a lot of options in Playa for food. I'm loving the fusion of experiences. Now there's one that I love because we have a lot of seafood restaurants. Have you tried the Hijos?
Yes.
Do you like it?
Yes.
They're tostadas with a lot of fish and shrimp and octopus and a lot of diverse options. So if you guys want to try it, go for that one. So, okay, I want you to tell me something about your work that can be either implemented here or Playa helps you to develop better. It's either for time, patience, or just because you're more comfortable, or something that you get to get from Playa that can be applied to your job.
Something that I get from Playa that can be applied to my job.
Or that enhances your job. Or
okay.
Your
you know what's dynamic. Happening to me recently, that's a skill that Playa is helping me develop, is I think flexibility. Because in what I find interesting is that things are not always the same every day here. Like if you go to a restaurant, for example, that was open yesterday at 5 o'clock, maybe tomorrow it won't be open again at 5 o'clock, and I don't know why. I don't know why the difference is. And like, so it's helping me learn to just be flexible and to be like more in the moment, just like pivot in the moment and not have like, because like Canada is different, right? If a place is open at 5 o'clock, they'll have the hours, it'll tell you that you can rely that next day it's going to be open. Whereas it seems like things are really fluid here. It depends on a whole bunch of factors that I have no idea, whether it's weather or whatever's going on. But so when I first got here and I was still kind of adjusting and stuff, I'd be like, oh, why is this place not open? And I'd feel kind of annoyed. But I didn't want to be a kind of person that's annoyed. I want to be grateful and happy. So I learned like, oh, okay, so I just need to like, this is a great opportunity to find a new place to eat. So learning to not be so like rigid, I think, and more flexible, and it's teaching me to just kind of go and like flow with things a little bit more easily. Also, I would say like to look at time differently. So in North America, it's like sort of normal to work between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. And here I find it's so hot in the afternoons that I can't work. I just want to like eat some tacos and go to sleep or go to the beach, you know? And so to like kind of be a little bit more flexible with my working hours and conditions and base it on how I feel instead of how society thinks that I should work. Which is really, it's a liberating feeling. It's like, you know what, I run my own business so I can pretty much work my own hours anyways, but I know when I'm in Canada, I tend to sort of stick to that 9-to-5 thing, but Playa has helped me just, you know, be a little bit more fluid and a little bit more flexible depending on how I feel. And honestly, I feel more nourished and more joyful, and I feel like my business is serving me better.
Okay, before we get too close, because we have a couple of minutes, would you say that Playa is for everyone?
No.
Why not?
Actually, you know what? I think it is actually for everyone.
Sorry to interrupt, but I think it's what you mentioned at the beginning as a primary response. It's something that a lot of people is feeling. lately.
Like, that it isn't for everyone?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that's not for everyone that wants to stay for long periods of time.
Oh, not for long periods of time, no. I think if you are looking, what makes me laugh so much is that I think what I see is that there's some people that come, they expect things to be just like it is in Canada or the States. And then I wonder why they've come somewhere different if they want it to be just like at home, right? And so I think that if you are looking for things to be like the same structure, the same culture, the same sort of efficiency as like Canada or the States or whatever, like you're going to be disappointed in that way, but it's a great opportunity to embrace a different culture. So if you're open-minded and you want to grow as a person and you want to experience things that are different, then yeah, it's great. But I think if you want things to be sort of, if you're not really too open-minded, it's better to maybe stay in, on your resort.
That's a very interesting way to put it, because I would probably say something similar. Mm-hmm. I would probably say something similar. That's great. Okay, before we get to leave, I still have floating questions, but I want you to tell people more about your job, where they can find it, what are you really looking for in your audience that want to, you know, maybe you're looking for a bigger audience or just attracting new audience. What do you have here to share about your job?
Sure. Okay, so my current project right now is called The Feminine Reclaimed. And you can get more information at thefeminine.reclaimed.com. And I'm on a mission to empower 1 million female entrepreneurs to have a better quality of life. So right now it's got a couple different projects underneath that umbrella. The first, there's a podcast coming out at least twice a month, episodes on just, you know, tips and tricks on how to live a better quality of life, you know, with really, really easy to implement tips from experts. The second part is the Facebook group, which is community, and it's also tips and tricks and a place to get support called the Female Entrepreneur Mental Health Awareness Group on Facebook, and then there's more to follow. So those are the two places that are sort of the community initiatives that I'm building right now. Again, it's at thefeminine.reclaim.com if you want to know more information about me or anything else I do for business coaching or anything else. You can find more information at laurelandstark.com, and I look forward to seeing you there.
So Instagram, Facebook,
yeah,
they can find you like that.
Yeah, always. So I'm all over. Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Laurel Ann Stark. I'm on Facebook at Laurel Ann Stark. And there's links to all my social profiles as well as The Feminine Reclaimed on laurelannstark.com. So basically, if you're on the internet, I'm there too, and you can find out where to meet me on my website.
Okay, so now you know how to find her. So now, before we get to leave, first of all, I want to mention you don't have a Twitter.
Twitter? Yeah, yeah, I'm on Twitter.
You do?
Yeah.
So it's the same?
Yeah, it's all the same.
Okay, you're the first one in a group of at least 10 people that I have talked to that has a Twitter still.
Yeah.
I think people are forgetting about it.
Well, because I'm my business started as an online marketing company, I have all of the online marketing accounts.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I use Twitter a whole time, but I have it.
I have Twitter, but I have no idea how to use it. Right now, to be very honest with you, we're like in Playa, we're delayed like for 10 years in information, but we're getting there little by little. Okay, so what would you recommend to the people that is still struggling with the idea of coming here to try it for the first time, or maybe coming back now that you have seen this new version of Playa del Carmen? Mm-hmm. What would be something that you're happy, maybe proud of, or a suggestion?
Okay, a suggestion that I would say that I find is really kind of strange is that I feel like for some reason Mexico gets really bad press in Canada and the States. So I have like my family and people, they always send me messages. They're like, oh, Mexico is so dangerous, it's so dangerous, it's so dangerous. And what I always tell people is like every city in North America is dangerous. Like where I'm from is dangerous, where I lived is dangerous. I would say that the crime is probably less, if not basically exactly the same across North America entirely. So like, don't be afraid. There's nothing scary. It's awesome. I mean, also like, don't come because then it'll make it more crowded, but like, but really it's just as safe as you make it. If you want to get like really crazy drunk and like violent at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll probably find trouble, but you would find trouble anywhere. So yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And also speaking about that, like the little tiny break that you open. And I was mentioning this with Neil and someone the other night. We went out for a couple of drinks after the summit, and it was not even that late. We were having just a couple of drinks, and everybody started saying, okay, goodbye, it's time for me to go. And I'm so Mexican, and I mentioned this before, that I would, with my Mexican friends, we would have gone the whole night, although we know that we have to work very next day because that's part of our culture. We're getting older, so we're getting more responsible, but it was incredible to see this amount of young entrepreneurs and the digital nomads just like going, like popping out, like, no, I have to go, I have to be more responsible. And none of them were drunk. They were very clear with what they want, and I was surprised. First of all, congratulations. because I know that you're one of those people that actually can, you know, do everything happen because you're actually looking for it, and it's really good advice for people. One last question. How long are you going to stay this time?
I'm here till March, so it's going to be a total of 6 months this time.
Okay.
And that's all I know.
Very good. Okay, so now you know, guys, she's going to be here for 6 months. If anyone gets to hear this and wants to connect with her, she will be in Playa for the next 6 months. We are now in October 13, 14th. I'm sorry, I forgot the day, but we're in between those days.
I think it's like the 18th.
Really? I have to pay
you
rent.
You lost days.
I have to pay rent and I didn't notice. Okay, so now you know, she's going to be here for 6 months. I think it's incredible what's happening in Playa. So, before I get to say goodbye to this episode, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate that you took the time. I know you're busy, but you came here and you opened that space for us and the Mexpat stories so they can hear about you. So thank you so, so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So there you have it, guys. The Mexpat stories are here just to open a space for the people that is traveling to Mexico and just having a little bit of this beautiful space, letting you be yourself and be for others. I'm going to post a link to some of her social media devices. It's gonna be mostly on Instagram. I'm gonna try to do it as well on the Mexpat channel, which is also on Facebook, and the Mexpat Club, which is a private community. You can add yourself if you're coming to experience Playa for a long period of time or a short period, which I would consider 3 months minimum, because we don't wanna have people that is from the outside just there yet. We want to offer clear numbers for our private community, but the Mexpat channel is open for all of you. So Instagram, Mexpats PDC, Rodrigo.Zagastegui. I will also post it over there in the Mexpat, and you will be able to have a link directly to this beautiful person. Thank you so much for having me one more time, and have a great day. I hope you guys can come to Playa. Thank you for everything.